Hello and welcome to the Parfax Diary. Somebody recorded this diary up till the end of July, had all them loaded up, recorded. Then someone in the infinite wisdom decided to format the computer and lost everything. So I'm re-recording this, so forgive me if I sound like I have an air of anger and resentment against that person. Okay, Cecil, that's about you, Cecil.
Piss off.
Apparently he didn't like me putting kedgeree in his slippers. That's what you get, though. I'm not going to eat that, am I? Kedgeree. Disgusting. Anyway, sorry, that's by the by. Just, oh, bastard, just knocked over a huge glass of stuff. Oh, anyway, never mind. Right, here we go. 18th of January. Oh dear. Apparently it was Mum's birthday yesterday and we all forgot. But what's worse than that is that we remembered it was Auntie Beryl's birthday and we sent her a birthday card and we rang her up to sing her a happy birthday down the telephone. It's bad because her and Mum are twins, identical twins at that. So it's understandable why she's so upset, isn't it? She's decided to lock herself in a bedroom and won't speak to any of us. She's put a stereo on really, really loud and blasted the Bangles song Walk Like an Egyptian. Really loud, almost too loud. That, you know, it's obtrusive when you're trying to watch. Well, this morning we were trying to watch RoboCop. Don't know why, it's a bit rude. Anyway, Mum thinks that Walk Like an Egyptian's quite a dark and brooding song. I think it's the oral definition of shit. In the afternoon, me and Dad tried, yet failed, to write some new music. We kept hitting each other with the tips of our guitars, which isn't a euphemism. No, the music was terrible. It was fractured and bitty. Dad kept playing out of key solos just to spite me. And just when I thought I'd come up with a tune for a follow-up song for a tribute to Sue Pollard, Dad accidentally pulled out the cable from my guitar. And by the time we'd found, and he bust it, and by the time we found one that worked, it was time for tea, so we had to go in. But Mum was still in her room being a grumpy stiltskin, so Dad had to cook tea. We had a bowl of gravy each. I tried to tip some under the door for Mum to drink, but she wouldn't take it. Nasty. 19th of June. Nothing seems to be going right for me these days. Mum had locked a bedroom door yesterday and she kept it locked all night too, so Dad had to sleep on the beanbag. But that wasn't because Mum had locked the door to the bedroom, but because Dad couldn't get out of the beanbag. You know, he's got a hump. He got himself on his back a bit like a tortoise. He looks a bit like a tortoise. I should paint him green in his sleep. And he just couldn't get out of it. It was all just, what were you like, Cecil?
I was like, Pa, please help me, my hump. It's a pivot point, but I can't pivot on my hump. The beanbag is just too much support for me.
So I had to pull him by his ankles and I pulled too hard and I'm sure something clicked. But he said he was all right, but I don't know, something's popped in there. Not sure what. Anyway, this morning we were rudely awoken by Mum banging on her door and shouting. I feared that yesterday was their wedding day as well, or, you know, wedding anniversary or something, and Dad had forgotten. But no, apparently the bedroom door was stuck fast and Mum couldn't get out and she needed a wee-wee. We tried for 10 minutes picking the lock. You know, because we play a lot of Skyrim and that's got lock picking in the game, so I thought I'd be a crack at it, but I wasn't very good. But Dad had a go and we thought he got it at one point, but he didn't. He just dropped the hairpin and it snapped inside, so we couldn't even get in it. If we had the key now, Mum was just like, hurry up Paul, hurry up. But then after a bit she was all like, no. Well, there's no rush now, Cecil. And you're going to need to wash your bed sheets. She'd obviously pizzled on his bed. So after another 30 minutes of trying that trick, you know, that they do in the movies with the credit card, Dad realised it wouldn't work on a Mortis lock. Only worked on a Yale lock, didn't it? Tired, she got me up early. Then, for shits and giggles, although I was hoping Mum wouldn't do that because she hadn't been to the toilet in several hours, I got a screwdriver out and pointed it at the lock and made some buzzing noises, and I pretended the screwdriver was Sonic, like in the Doctor Who, but it didn't do anything. In the end, Mum and Dad both insisted I smashed the door down with my mass, my bulk, my chunk. So I just flung my entire body at the door. But the problem was that I'm actually wider than the door. So I was just running and smashed into the door frame. And on my 10th attempt, the whole door frame and door came a crashing down. Luckily, the lintel was intact, so I didn't get crushed and break a wall, but utterly buggered the door and frame. Mum looked horrified and she said, "Right, I'm adding that to the bill for the carpets and other things you owe us." Bitch. After I saved her life and everything. Oh, I tell you what though, it absolutely reeked of piss and eggy trumps in there. Disgusting old woman. 20th of June. Mum keeps blaming me for all of us forgetting her birthday. Because apparently she wrote it down on the calendar. And I said, well, I can't really read that writing, love. It's too small. Sorry, I lost my place. I got a bit panicky. I don't know where I am now. I feel like long distance Clara. And obviously she's on Pigeon Street. She won't have sat-nav. She's just got to read an analogue map from a book. Poor long distance Clara. Where is she now? Anyway, do apologise. Where was I? 20th of June. Mum keeps blaming me for forgetting her birthday because she wrote it down on a calendar so that I could see it. Dad says he can't read the small text and he has to hold up a magnifying glass to read everything. Or if he's reading something on the computer, he has to put the font up to size 72 at a minimum. Which is how I know he reads my diary. He sits there with Mum at Mum's laptop just laughing to himself. I really must find a way to make my private documents private on the home network. I don't know how computers work. I'm not a virgin. I am a virgin, aren't I? But like all computer people are, you see them working at PC World and Currys, don't you? Oh, they stink and they've got beards. Apparently everything on my computer is readable by Mum or Dad. I know they'll be reading this and nodding along and laughing in a mocking tone. Mother, your homemade hot dogs are disgusting. They shouldn't be crunchy. And Dad, having that wooden cigar in your mouth every Sunday doesn't make you look distinguished or noble. It makes you look like you've got a big soggy poo in your mouth. Disgusting. 29th of June. This morning with Richard and Judy, doesn't exist anymore. Sorry. This morning I was just sat on the sofa, sweating like a gibbon in the microwave, when all of a sudden the Father Christmas man from next door, who up until this point hadn't spoken a word to any of us, banged on the window very loudly. It made me spill my milkshake. Mum and Dad were in the room. I don't know where they were. I think they were rotting. So I had to go to the front door and see what he wanted. He was out of breath and visibly shaken, like a James Bond martini, but in a sweaty, half-dressed kind of way. His fly was wide open and his shirt was unbuttoned. He could barely speak, he was panting. He just bade me come to his parlour. I didn't know what he meant, so I asked him to come in. He just got really worked up and kept pulling at my t-shirt as if he wanted me to follow him, like some kind of bush kangaroo on a mission. So I followed him to his house and he just kept saying, "Go sort it out." He won't even come in the house with me. I asked him what on earth could the matter be. I said, "Oh dear, what could the matter be? Oh, have you heard about Tony Slattery? He went mental." Not the man that lives next door that looks like Father Christmas. I mean Tony Slattery. Had a bit of a breakdown, but I don't blame him, do you? Imagine being that close to Sandy Toksvig and knowing she's off limits all the time. Sorry. Anyway, he just stood at his front door shaking and crying. And then he just pushed me through the door and shut the door. So I tentatively walked down his front hall and into his living room. Yeah, in my mind, I was terrified there'd be a giant spider perched atop a Nazi clown holding a plate of cooked vegetables. Which is actually the sum of my fears, by the way. Oof, I shouldn't say that, should I? My enemies get a hold of this diary, then they'll know how to make me talk, won't they? Spider times Nazi divide by clown multiply by vegetable equals me pooing my pants. Though, actually, as it turned out, I wasn't far off, because there... I don't know if you can hear that person tapping on the knocking down a shed outside my house. Well, my house, Cecil's house. Anyway, as it turned out, I wasn't too far off guessing that, because there, perched atop his copy of Bella, was a fully grown tarantula. Oh, it was so big. It covered an entire A4 image of Eamon Holmes' face, and we all know how big that face is. My initial reaction was one of utter disbelief. I just assumed it was a toy or a model or something. So I got closer to it, then it started to move. I thought, maybe it's animatronic. So I got within 2 metres of it, because I just couldn't believe it. I got 2 metres to it, and then the damn thing reared up on its hind legs and looked like it were going to pounce at me. Instantly I fled, of course I did. But the Father Christmas lookalike bastard had locked his front door. He was stood on the other side crying, and I think I just heard him weep, sort it out for me, through his pathetic sobs. So I thought, right, I'm going to go full mental chunky boy on this, and I looked round the hall for a weapon. Besides a fern and a hat stand, I couldn't see anything I thought would do enough damage to it. So I went to the doorway of the living room where this thing... Sorry, I'm just getting worked up thinking about it. I went to the door of the living room to see what was going on, and it was still sat on Eamon Holmes' face, twitching its fat ass along his eyebrows. I think it was caressing him, saying he was going to kiss him with his spidery fangs. Poor Eamon. The thing was about 3 metres away from me, so I just sort of slunk up to the wall and crept past into the kitchen, keeping one eye on the monster and keeping another eye on all the pictures I was knocking off the wall. But, you know, sod it. It's not my fault I'm in here, is it? And I thought, right, what am I going to do? So I put the kettle on to boil. It seemed to take a lifetime. But once it was boiled up, I poured the water into a big heavy pan and slowly made my way back to the living room. I inched closer to the beast, boiling pan of water in my trembling hands. Buzz, buzz, mate. I knew this thing could see me, its 8 beady little eyes tracking my every movement, bowel and hand both. The smell of fear was reeking out of me. Again, the bowel movement was sensed. I got as close as I dared. Then I froze with terror. Seconds turned to minutes. Or so they felt. My dry mouth tasted like the smell of dog plops. I knew I had to act soon, but I just couldn't. I could sense the water would be cooling with every passing second. So, rousing all the courage of my chubby, blubby boy could muster, I just sat the pan down, and then I pounded on my chest with my fists like a big silverback gorilla, and then picked up the pan of boiling water and just slung it at the arachnid. Streaming, steaming water spread everywhere. I hit the spider, and then the pan hit the spider. But it didn't hit it hard enough to do any damage, it just knocked it onto the floor. But I could see the spider writhing in agony, all 8 legs convulsing with boiling pain. A small wave of guilt shot across my mind. So I ran over and picked up the heavy copper pan and just dropped it on the spider, and it just burst in an explosion of spidery goo, web and pus. I fell to the sofa and instantly broke down weeping. Never before has such a battle of wits and nerve been seen, and I've come out the victor. Though I never do take pleasure in another being's suffering, unless it's a spider, in which case it can burn in hell, because those things are freaking evil. Don't care how many insects they claim the help around the house. They don't. I went to the front door and said through the letterbox, "I've dealt with it. It's safe to come back in, sir." The Father Christmas looking like man came in, still shaking, and he just said, "Is it safe? Is it gone?" And I told him to bade him come hither to the parlour because I understood what he meant. I had an epiphanox, and we walked into his front room, and he just stood there in the doorway, looking down at the water, the pan, the squashed spider pizza, and he burst into tears of joy. Oh, so I thought. He fell to his knees, weeping with joy. And I said, "It's all right, I've killed that horrible thing. It can't hurt you anymore, sir." And then he just stood up and grabbed me by the t-shirt collar, and he tried to throw me against the wall, but he couldn't move my vast, chunky bulk. I asked him what was wrong, and he just said, "Oh, you've killed Monty, you fat bastard. I'll kill you. I'll kill you." But he said it more aggressive, but I can't do that because I'm quite calm about the whole thing. I'm not an actor. And then he punched me in the stomach. I just sort of made that noise. But it didn't really affect me that much because, I'm quite chunky. And he was quite old, so it didn't hurt me much. And I said, "But I thought that's what you wanted me to do. Why else would you get so upset unless a flicking massive spider had shown up in your living room?" Then he pulled his fist out of my belly button and then tried to punch me in the tummy again. And then he sort of again pulled his fist out of my belly button and he just said, "I wanted you to get rid of that gay porn pop-ups from my computer, you bloody fat puff." And then I looked over to his computer screen and it had gone black. He must have gone off or gone to the screensaver or something. I didn't even notice anything rude. I just assumed it was the giant spider. Excuse that yawn, that seemed to undercut the severity of the story I'm trying to recall to you. Do apologise. I pushed him off me and he said, "You didn't tell me what the matter was, it's not my fault. You should have been more clear. And don't use the word puff, it's not politically correct anymore." Then he told me to go fuck myself. He said I was a fat faggot. I told him to not be such a bigamist. And yes, I know on reflection that was the wrong word. But I was a bit shaken, to be honest, and I think I did well to even come with any comebacks. I said I was glad his pet spider were dead. And Anna thought his taste in curtains was just vile. Then I left his house and I slammed the door on the way out. There's just no helping some people. Speaking of which, Mum's been alright today. Dad went out and bought her a fresh tabard and a dusting cloth with polish. He went for the top brand. Finish, is it? Don't know. Dad had also made a card for her, cut out of all pictures from the Argos catalogue, though she didn't seem that impressed. Dad even offered to make tea, but Mum said she wasn't in the mood for gravy, so she declined his offer. I've been getting myself ready for Tony's stag do soon. Can't divulge the information here because I don't want Mum knowing what we stags get up to, but needless to say, it's all going to kick off soon. Oh God, right, buckle in because this is a long one. I wrote this blog while we were away on holiday for Tony's stag do and the family reunion, so it's a bit long in the tooth because, as you'll find out over the next few days, I had very little to do on an evening. 22nd of June. Margaret punched Cecil at 12... Oh, I cocking cocked this up again. Bugger it sideways! I had such trouble recording this the first time I recorded it. And now I'm doing it again. I'm cocking it right up again. Let's go for a 20th take on that.
Don't talk like that. You sound like an absolute prig.
Oh, I sound like a prig, apparently. 22nd of June. Margaret punched Cecil at 12 minutes past 8. Cecil hasn't driven a car for 48 years, but for this stag week, Margaret insisted that we do not leave the country. She says, I can stay in my own country and find people I hate. I don't need to sit on a bus to end up somewhere even worse than this country to be surrounded by foreign idiots. Which comes off as xenophobic. Which it is. And a bit racist, because she is. You see, because Mum insisted that she come on the stag week, because, she, as she says,
say it, Mum. Why am I always coming across as a horrible old woman, nagging everybody? I'm not like that.
Shut up, Mum. You just shut up.
Well, out, Mum. Don't you talk right, I'm leaving.
Nasty. Well, I'll read your lines for you then, Mum. Poor.
What?
Nothing.
If you call me a whore again, Paul, I'm going to come into your room when you're asleep and cram an entire stalk of Brussels sprouts up your anus. Do you understand me, you little shit?
Sorry, Mum. Sorry.
Right. Good. Right. I said I want to, if you're going on holiday, I want to go on holiday. That's all I said. I want to come along. I don't have to come on the stag night with you, but I do want to go on holiday if you're having an holiday.
Fine. Can you leave me please, Mummy?
What, forever again?
Just for the next 40 minutes and I mean this for the PayPal.
Fine. Bye.
Where was I? No, I've cut that out. Must cut that out. So after much talk, debate and threatening, Cecil rented a hire car for the whole week while we stay in a cottage. Our cottage is in the heart of North Yorkshire. I don't know the name of the village. Somewhat like Ecky Thump or, I'm northern, don't know. We're here for a week because my best chum, Tony, is getting remarried to his wife. Why is people always getting remarried in my podcasts, videos, computer game videos and other videos? Don't know. It's like someone's run out of ideas. We're here for the week because my best friend, Tony, is getting remarried to his wife. I'm having a big stag week up here in the wilds. As I say, because Mum's come along because she's having none of this. It's just for men nonsense. Also, she says that we're having a big family get-together on Monday with Auntie Beryl, Uncle Stanley, my cousin Clarence, and the grandmas and grandpapas might make it too, if they're feeling up to it. But today's Saturday. Let me take you back in time to this very morning. Do. The sun came streaming in through my bedroom window at 6:43 a.m. straight into my eyes, waking me from a delightful dream involving Roseanne Barr and three of the four Golden Girls. I think you can remember which three of the four Golden Girls I would have gone for. Can't remember what they were doing in the dream. Something erotic, I hope. Anyway, I tried my best to roll over and get back to sleep, but I was both too excited and both too full of urine to actually get back to sleep. So, after an agonising 12 minutes of bladder spasms, I got up and started to walk to the toilet. Unfortunately, on my journey to the toilet, I stood on a massive piece of Lego, which caused me to scream, which caused Mum and Dad to wake up and run onto the landing where I was there. It's such a shame I was nude and sort of lying on my back with my anus pointing right at Mum and Dad, with my foot near my face trying to get out the Lego-y chunk from my foot. They got an absolute eyeful. Dad said that he could almost see my colon. He got such an eyeful, if you know what I mean. Oh, I was just lying on my back, crying, trying to grab at my foot. And this chunk of Lego, it's my own fault, really. Mum and Dad, well, they just went straight back into the bedroom and I was just lying there in agony. It's such a good job we're not running Christella anymore. Imagine if there'd been guests. Apparently I look like a big lava lamp come to life, all flobbling and a bobbling on my back. Anyway, I got the Lego trunk out of my foot and made it to the toilet and did a tinkle. I think it was the longest wee I've ever done, well, since records began. In 1998, it took a time of 1 minute and 49 seconds to come out of my body. I do time all my toilet ablutions, well, mostly just my wee, because, you know, sometimes if you're pooing, you can get caught up playing Coin Dozer or one of the mobile games, and you can be on there for hours till your anus has gone to sleep. But no, for a wee, I'll generally just sit there, do my wee, and get up. Maybe sometimes I'll do a little shake, but the problem with doing a little shake is if you get too into it, you can get carried away with yourself, and then that just opens up a whole other can of worms, and then your mum's banging on the door because you're taking too long in the toilet, if you know what I mean. Sorry. So yes, I do normally time my wees, and that was the longest one I've ever done. Anyway, then after that I went downstairs and began on the cereal, and one box of Honey Nut Hoops, not Loops, Hoops, later, they're the off-brand, cheap Tesco's brand, Mum and Dad got out of bed. They both seemed quite chipper and in good spirits, and nobody made a reference to my earlier nudeness and spread eagleness of my lower region. About 11 o'clock we finally made it out of the door, even though Mum had told me to be ready by 10:30. Wasn't my fault anyway, she lost her best sandals, shouting at me as if I was going to wear her sandals. They're far too delicate. Then we got to the rental shop, store, don't know, I've only ever seen reference to them in American sitcoms, so I'm not sure. It's where you rent a car from anywhere. We got there and picked out a lovely blue Fiat Mondeo Ford Uno Corsa. Or not, I know more about deep sea oil pipeline drilling than I do about cars. All I know is it's blue and I've called her Clara. Yeah, because all cars and boats are female for a reason, aren't they? I think that's because men don't like to get in some if it's referred to as another man. Maybe they're a bit not unsure about the sexuality, don't know. It's usually people like Clarkson that give the cars lady names and shit. I can't imagine Clarkson climbing inside a Barry. Actually, I can imagine that. I'm not saying he is, but he seems to be compensating for something, if you know what I mean. Anyway, the next 30 minutes were the scariest 30 minutes of my life ever. As I previously stated, New Year's Eve, Kitten's licking his... I don't know what he's licking. There's a helicopter going overhead. It's all happening here. Where am I? The next 30 minutes were the scariest 30 minutes of my life. As I've stated, Cecil hasn't driven a car for 50 years or so, or whatever bullshit I claimed before. He hasn't driven a car since he was... Come on, do the math. Since he was 32. Which, given that this was... It don't matter. Why I'm talking absolute bollocks. Anyway, when the person who's driving the car screams every 14 seconds...
Oh shit, we're going to die, Margaret! Touch my cock one last time!
You tend to put you on edge, don't it? But we managed to get out of Biddington and onto some bigger country roads. He was only lightly sobbing by this point, but his actual driving was getting better. At least he'd opened his eyes. We only hit 2 out of every 10 cars. After about 40 minutes of this, I began to feel a little bit queasy, and then a lot queasy, and then I suddenly saw Honey Nut Hoops spraying everywhere. I was sick, but it just shot out without the usual warning signs. I saw some sick coming in front of my face, then I saw some sick hitting the back of Mum's head, then I saw some sick hitting Dad's shoulder, then I saw it just hit my knees, the chair, the floor, and everywhere. And then I heard,
"Oh, you blithering idiot!"
And then I just heard Mum sort of going, and she was retching because she'd got sick all down her favourite blouse. And then Mum was just sick all over her lap. And then Dad went to change gear, and Mum looked at him because I think he scared her a little bit with his just aggressiveness of his gear change. She looked over and she was sick all down his arm and on his hand and on the gear stick. And then Dad just pulled into a passing place, whatever that is, and just leaned over on Mum and was just sick on her tits. It was disgusting. There was vomit everywhere. It smelt horrendous, except mine smelt quite honey based. So after a while, we had unpacked the entire car, all got changed and sprayed down with a nearby farmer's hose, and scraped out the car. It was a right to do, I'll be honest with you. After that, we got back in the car, all a bit damp, but not too bad. The smell was all right. It was, you know, it was appetizing a little bit. And we got to the cottage. The cottage was nice. It was just a nice little country cottage attached to a bigger country cottage. Two cottages we were looking at. Oh, I'm tired. Anyway, after all this, we got into the house and unpacked everything. Everyone had another wash and put some washing in the washing machine. We had a nice relaxing cup of tea. And we decided what we were going to do that day. It was about 2 o'clock, or 1400 hours, if you're from the future. We decided we'd go to the nearby town of Ripon for a delicious pub munch and a walk around the local charity shops. You know, which we did. I got Buckaroo, two Beanie Babies, a Tommy dog toy thing, and a book about magic eye pictures. God alone knows why I bought them. Needless to say, I'll be re-donating them back to the next charity shop. See, I imagine they'll give me my money back or something. Mum got nothing besides a really bad mood, whereas Dad got the complete works of Ian Fleming, the Bond, James Bond books, for £3. Which Mum thought was a bit of a con because we've all seen the films. But then Dad tried to argue that a book's different from a film, in that you imagine it and it's different. You imagine different things and that's somehow more superior. Mum won't bother. She stopped listening and walked off to look at some China clowns. I think she's getting back into that again. When we'd done the shopping, it was getting on for 6 o'clock. So we decided to go for another pub lunch, or tea, as it was quite late. We all had steak and we all wished we hadn't. It was as tough as old iron, but when the waiter came and said, "Is everything all right with the meal?" we just said, "Yes, thank you," because we're all English and absolutely useless at confrontation. Then we began the drive home. Dad kept making wrong turnings. He has trouble knowing his left from his right. Something I thought only small children of about 3 would have trouble with, but apparently it's quite common amongst adults. Well, some adults anyway. Women, mostly. That's why they can't drive very well and certainly don't know how to park. You know, my mother-in-law is so fat that her backside's in a different time zone to her front side because she's really long. Oh, sorry, I've just seemed to have stumbled into a 1970s comedy routine. Oh, I got possessed by the spirit of Bernard Manning. Oof, imagine having that inside you. Sorry. Cecil kept making wrong turns as Mum was directing him, and by the fifth time we had to make a U-turn, she started shouting at him. And then when she told him to take a left at the post office and he took a right to Netto's, she lashed out and punched him in his cheek. Quite very hard. He's got a bruise there now, and it's got, you can see Mum's rings. We drove home in absolute silence with Dad just seething with rage, which is quite impressive given that we were completely lost. I think his homing instinct kicked in. You know, Mum had clearly known she'd done something wrong, but a sheer bloody mindedness meant she wasn't going to apologise for it or even claim responsibility for the incident. Poor Cecil was trying his best. Poor Cecil. So, we're back in the cottage in silence now. I've come to bed 3 hours early with no supper. I'm so hungry, and I need to pizzle. I'm going to go to sleep. I knew spending a week with my parents in such close proximity would be utter hell. Tony better appreciate this. June 23rd. Sunday, bloody Sunday. I'm sure the orange M&Ms taste different somehow. I'm just sat here in bed at 8 p.m. on Sunday evening, eating a share-sized bag of peanut M&Ms. They keep making me cough, but the orange ones do taste different. They've got an undercurrent of a tang. Do they make orange tango anymore? Don't know, I haven't had any for months, if not years. Anyway, what a day it hasn't been. I slept terribly last night because there's big cows in the field behind the cottage and they kept me up all night neighing. Well, I was up till about 4 o'clock because there was a wedding party in a nearby field and they were playing drum and bass type music until the wee small hours. So I spent the entire day being grumpy and tired like a diva. I thought Mum and Dad would be grumpy with each other as well because, you know, the punching. Maybe Mum won't even speak to each other. But this morning they were well chippy with each other, couldn't believe it. Cecil's got a big bruise on the left side of his cheek, but neither of them mentioned it. And, they're just all happy. Mum threw a small box of, what do you call them, Cocoa Pops at Dad, and he just caught it and did a little dance with his hips, as if to say he was in a jaunty mood while they were having breakfast. New updates ready for your programme. Today we planned a nice relaxing walk around a country village called Appen or Audu, somewhat northern. But it hasn't stopped raining for a second. I mean raining properly. Cecil ran out to the car for about 40 seconds to get, I think it was a foot pump for an airbed. But when he came back in, he was completely soaked to the skin. His silvery white shirt was completely see-through, as were his cotton slacks. I could see his Y fronts. They were completely clearly visible. And for some reason, they spotted a picture of Henry Kelly on the crotch. Don't know why. He had an interesting look on his face. I don't know why. I was transfixed, if I'm honest with him. I didn't realise what it was. I'm hoping, amongst many hopes, that his Y fronts weren't see-through and Dad just had a big tattoo of Henry Kelly on his cock and bollocks. Maybe he'd made his nose. I don't even want to think about that, thank you very much. So we've done absolutely nothing today besides watch TV. Actually, I'll just describe the accommodation we're living in. Or you could go and watch the YouTube video from about 4 or 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 years ago, if you can find it. It's my North Yorkshire holiday video. Anyway, I imagine if you've watched that video, if you're listening to this, you've already watched that video, but who knows? I don't know anymore what's going on. Either way, describes the cottage, I shall. Like what Popeye says. If you look at the cottage from the east, then there's a wall and then a window, right? If you look at it from the west, you see a view of my arse sticking out of a different window. Bored. I'm really bored, if I'm honest with you, dear diary. It's just a modern cottage with a room, another room, a kitchen and a toilet and another room. Who cares? Anyway, I'm not Kirsty Allsop or whatever that woman's... Sorry, there was a loud clang from the back of the house. Like something had knocked over a garden chair. What if it's aliens? They've finally come for me. I shouldn't have watched the film Aliens. I'm terrified of the slightest noise now. Never should watch a spooky movie before bed. Always keeps me up worrying that there's a monster at the bottom ready to rip off a toe or bum me with a probe. Anyway, tomorrow is the big family gathering that we're having, big family get together. And then the day after that is Tony's big stag do. I'm so excited! And I just can't hide it. And I'm not about to lose control, bowel, bladder or whatever. Emotional control. I just hope he's looking forward to what I've got planned for him. It's ever so bored. Anyway, there's nothing to say now. I've got to get myself in the mindset of seeing and speaking and being sociable tomorrow, because it's the family get together. Oh, they shouldn't be bothered about me because they know I'm a shy little bumpkin. Oh, I bet someone tries to talk to me about Brexit. Oh. 24th of June. Well, good morning, good morning, good morning. That's how upbeat I'm going to have to pretend to be all day if I want to be sociable, like a sociable leopard. If they're sociable creatures, I don't know. Anyway, today's the day of the family reunion, and I'm afeared. Mum has forced me to put on my suit. It's a pale/powder blue suit with a white shirt and a lime green tie. I look like an absolute buffoon, but Mum insisted. And she's holding the purse strings, so I have to sport any garment she says I look good in. Oof. At least I don't have to wear a cummerbund like Dad does. But that's because he's got a rip on the top of his trousers. You can see his pubis. Anyway, I've been told that at this reunion there's a great chance that both sets of grandparents will be coming. Though I would swear all of them are dead. I've only met them once at a garden party in 1985. I was terribly afraid of them because they looked so old, like skeletons. Can't imagine how they look now. They must be like 110, I reckon. Oof. And my grand, well, you know, that's on Dad's side. On Mum's side, they're a bit younger, a bit more vibrant and vivacious. Then Mum said she was never speaking to her parents after what happened in the 70s that put her in prison. Don't know. Some things are just not best looked into, like Mum's bra cupboard. Peculiar. Anyway, of course Aunt Beryl's going to be there with her on-again, off-again husband, Uncle Stanley. And there's a good chance Cousin Clarence will be coming, who I don't actually like, if I'm being honest with you. He's really into his science, and he likes to bore me and confuse me by talking about computers quite a lot. I hate him so much, he's weird. And he dresses a bit like a woman. Last time I saw him, he had a handbag. And I don't mean a man bag, I mean a handbag. Oof. There may also be other family members that I don't know about coming. Just don't know, I've just got to be prepared for any social situation. I'm scared and I don't want to go. I know they're going to mock me about my outfits. It's so tight. You can see my bollock. Although one of them does seem to have gone up into my torso. So I've just got the one, as far as any onlookers are concerned. Anyway, we're having this massive do at a village in a nearby village called Massam, which is spelt Mash'em, and I pronounce it Mash'em every time I say it. It just drives Mum mad. She corrects me every time. As if I don't know it's supposed to be called Massam. It just gets her so wound up, she goes so red. It's hilarious. The reason we're having it is that all four grandparents get together for one last time, as Mum keeps saying. Which is a bit nasty to say that they're definitely going to die, but apparently they never ever will get together again after this. I'm so confused. But I'm told if I go to this, then Mum will help me fund Tony's stag do. So, you know, you've got to follow the smell what sells, you've got to follow the pounds. I'll haul myself out to be sociable if it means I can do what I want to do on Tony's stag do. Ooh, I spent too long writing this. Mum's shouting at me to come to the car. Ooh, I'm spooked. Spooked and a-pooked. Don't know what that means, but I better go. Well, where to begin? Well, what a day it's been. Well, don't know where to start. Well, I hope that was just a fart. Right. We got to the village hall at 23 minutes past 13. Mum and Dad had just had a huge argument in the car over directions. I tried to chip in with my directional guess. Just punched the microphone. As soon as I gave my guess, a pack of wine gums hit me in the face. Which I quite enjoyed. But they're a bit fruity. But they're a bit like sweets. I'm conflicted with them. I like to put them in my mouth and then just spit them out the window when they get a bit too fruity for me. I told that to Mum and she said she'd like to do that with David Dickinson. Didn't really understand what she meant there. Anyway, we managed through the various arguments to get to the village hall quite early. Certainly long before 3 o'clock, which was the time it was supposed to start, and that started another argument, but Mum said that we were supposed to get there early to set up. I was angry. I sat in the corner and just sulked like a Batman on his birthday would, but Mum then shouted at me to make the orange squash. I also had to lay out the cheap sausage rolls, the tiny, mostly pastry pork pies, the ready-made coleslaw, the Tesco value cheese, and then add cube it. Then I had to put cocktail sticks on the cubed cheese that were on a toothpick, and then I had to put a bit of fruit on the cheese and cocktail stick. Ensemble. It's disgusting. I had to touch it. It was all wet. Then I had to cut chocolate logs into quarters, even though there were only them tiny ones that are supposed to be for one person each. And then I sliced up the egg custard and had to go be sick in the rubbish bin outside. Oof, egg custard is disgusting. Don't know what it is, but it's vile. I always imagine it's just a big chunk of solidified pus. Horrible. No one in our family can cook, so we just all buy the cheapest store-bought pastry food items. And no one brings enough, or they bring too much. And then everybody gets into arguments about who's brought the most and the best, and that they should get some remuneration for the outlay that they've spent. But everyone says, no, why should I? I brought some stuff too. Why should I have to pay for anything? And it just ends up in a big faxy argument. Then I had to blow up 30 balloons. I fainted 4 times. I'm sure I saw the future about a nasty wasteland post-Brexit. Don't know, but I did see Margaret Thatcher without a top on, so that's fun. When 3 o'clock came and went, no one had arrived. But when 3:15 came, in walked Aunt Beryl and Uncle Stanley, with Cousin Clarence following close behind. Clarence was wearing what I can only describe as a skirt, though he claimed it was a kilt, but those are usually a lot less mini. I didn't know men could wear boob tubes. He looked like a Spice Girl from the early 2000s. He told me not to worry about it, so I didn't. Well, I did, but I didn't want him to know that I was worrying about it. I kept seeing the top of his, the bottom of his bum cheeks when he bent over. We didn't have anything on underneath. Then Uncle Stanley came over and shook my hand, rather limply if you ask me, and he said,
"How's the doing, Paul? Not seen the inner eat long time. How's the keeping?"
I didn't know what the hell he said, so I just said, "No bed." But I sort of slurred my words together, and it came out as knobhead instead of not bad. And he just sort of tutted and walked away. So all in all, it's fairly usual how my interaction with the people goes. I have a brief word with them, then a sort of silence, and then they just sort of bugger off. Rubbish socially. Then a man came to the door. He came up to me and said,
"I am the cube. To whom am I to deliver?"
I didn't know what to say, so I just pointed at Mum, and he walked over to her and handed her a medium-sized box, and then he quickly went and sat on a chair by the door. That was very odd. He was dressed all in black, and he was wearing a top hat, but it wasn't Tony, who often wears a top hat. Then Mother said,
"Gather ye, O Thax tribe. The time of togetherness is upon us. I may be brilliant."
Everyone else walked over to her, as did I. You know, what magical words were these she was speaking? I was just about to ask her when Dad suddenly turned round and said,
"Are ye, let the journey commence. Open the bit of ramoth. Let the vessels empty. Oh, ye, the time is now."
And with this, Mother opened the box that the cube had brought in, and inside were four spheres of perfect black, shiny marble type stuff. Looked like black bowling balls, but without finger holes to finger them. Cecil began chanting, "Let the vessels empty! Let the vessels empty! Let the vessels empty!" just over and over again. Then everybody else started saying it. Then Mum twisted each orb, which came in two perfect halves. Then Cecil said, "Let the dust partake in the gravity's game." At which point Mum then tipped all the dust onto the floor from each four of the orbs. You know, once all four had been emptied, Cecil chanted, "Churn the matter! Oh, churn the matter!" You know, and then all while Aunt Beryl, got wooden sticks, and Uncle Stanley got wooden sticks, and Cousin Stanley got wooden sticks, and they started stirring the four piles of dust together to make one big dusty chunky pile. And as they mixed, Cecil said, "Mix the atoms, combine four into one, the four into one." And then everybody started chanting it and doing some crazy spooky dance like they were possessed by a demon. I couldn't stand it any longer. I was having the mother of all freakouts. I just started going, "What's going on?" In blind terror and panic, I just sort of screamed and tried to run out the door. But before I could get to the door, the cube man got in my way and wrestled me to the floor. Couldn't believe it. No one can usually move my mass. Then Cecil said, "The atoms are combined. Bring the vessel." At which point, Uncle Stanley and Clarence started dragging me towards where all the dust was. Couldn't believe it. Where are they getting this level of strength from? They just dragged me to where the dust was and then sort of held me down, and people started chucking the dust all over me. Couldn't believe it. And I was just sort of panicking and going, and then I sort of struggled to get up, like a tortoise or Cecil in a beanbag. And Cecil started chanting, "The atoms are combined in the vessel. Oh, the vessel partakes. The vessel partakes." Then I just screamed, "What's going on? Why are you doing this to me? Where were the grandparents?" And then Cecil got too keen, didn't you, Cecil? "I got too worked up. Paul, please let me say my part. I'm enjoying this. It's very energetic, high energy, loud talking." "All right, just calm down." And then Cecil said, "The four into the weak, the four into the weak one, the four ones into the four weak one, four one." "Calm down, Cecil, just calm down." "No, I'd like it, Paul, I want to be an actor, I want to be in the bill." "Well, you're not going to be." That's when I realised that the dust was the ashes of my four grandparents. I think they must all be dead, and that this is their revenge for some reason. So I started to rock and a shock, and I gave big chunky struggles, and I got free, and I managed to stand up and just said, "What are you doing? This is mental." And then Cecil just said, "The vessel must imbibe, cloud the atoms, cloud them." And then Auntie Beryl and Uncle Stanley and Clarence started picking up the ashes and just throwing them at my mouth and eyes and ears, trying to get as much of it in me as possible. And then Mum started rapidly spinning round and shouting, "The Virgin partakes in the ash. The elders are imbibed. Temporal." And with that, Uncle Stanley took a picture of my fat face. I was just startled. I froze. I started crying. And just sort of watery streaks were going through the dusty face of Paul Thacks. I was the right picture. I just started hyperventilating and crying and just weeping openly. And then everybody just sort of stood looking at me. And I just sort of was staring at them. They were staring at me. And I just sort of didn't know what to do. And then Dad just came up to me and said, "That serves you right, you fat virgin. Unbelievable." And I just said, this is horrible. What's happening to me? And apparently the grandparents had done a Brewster's Million style thing where they'd said to Mum and Dad that if I was still a virgin by the time I was whatever age I am now, then they had to do this with their ashes to freak me out and try and make me piss myself and humiliate myself. Because if I go through this level of humiliation, then nothing's going to be more embarrassing than this. So I shouldn't be bothered about talking to a woman. But I didn't see it that way. I just sort of started crying and ran out saying, it's not funny. Horrible. And I went and I was just sort of tried to sit in the car and that was outside. And I realised I didn't have the key, so I had to walk in. I punched Cecil in the stomach and said, give me the car keys, I'm going outside. And Mum gave me the car keys, and so I went and sat outside. Sat out there for 5 hours because everybody else was having a lovely time. Apparently they all get 12 grand and I get nothing for doing that. Bastards. I just sat in the car. I ate and spat out all the wine gums into Mum and Dad's seat, and I mushed them into the seat, and I hope they get them in Mum's best party frock because she was wearing it. It's horrible. It looks like a big fat pink hippo. I'm back in the cottage now and I'm in my room brooding like Batman does. Roll the shitty music.